Hello and welcome to the Everything BDSM podcast. I'm your host, Rope Tiger Daddy. This is episode number 11, and today's episode is entitled The Attraction of Sadism. So, sadism is one of those things that is, I guess I would say, one of the more popular aspects of kink and BDSM. I jokingly laugh and say sometimes, like when you go to a munch or an event, like you can't throw a rock without hitting a sadist. You know, everyone's got a paddle. The littles have paddles. The subs have paddles. The brats have paddles. The doms, the tops. Everyone's got a freaking paddle. Like, it's kind of like the entry level. It's kind of like the gateway drug of kink in many ways. I mean, it kind of was for me too, although rope tended to be a more of a gateway for me. It was the more, I guess, acceptable thing. And so one of the things I'm going to talk about is just that guilt of sadism, just the societal expectation that, you know, you don't hit people. You know, we're told from a very young age you don't hit people. But also today I want to talk about some of the attractions and some of the reasons behind sadism, because I don't think people really dig into some of the reasoning behind it. They're just like, standing over the paddle, chuckling like, I just like to hit people, you know, but what's the reason? Why? You know, I think some people, you know, everyone has a different reason probably, or, you know, varying reasons to some degree. But I think that the reasoning kind of can tell you more about the person, can kind of tell you more about the match too. You know, for, you know, there's things that make people match with the reasons and things that don't make people match with the reasons. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the masochists I don't match my sadism with and why. And it's not like a personal judgment, but there, I'm sure there is some judgment behind it, but we'll talk a little bit about that too. So just kind of starting off, if you guys don't know, but you've probably listened to this podcast enough that you should know that I am the owner of sharppointedthings.com. So sadism for me goes beyond just doing it. I've been building the toys and stuff forever. So check that site out. If you're looking for sharp pointed things, obviously that's what the site's all about. So just my quick little plug right there. So getting into this, I want to talk about why sadism, what's the attraction of sadism? Why do people do it? For some, there's a sexual component, and oh, trust me, we're going to get into that in the next podcast, episode 12. But for some people, there's no sexual component at all. They just enjoy doing it. I see a lot of people that like just do it for show and just do it to be part of the community and just do it. There's some people that absolutely love it. I know one guy, I don't know if he listens to this podcast or not, that's pretty local to me, that like, his eyes light up when he starts talking about spanking. Like, he just loves freaking spanking. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with just being interested in one part of BDSM or one part of kink. I mean, I think he has some other interests as well. But, you know, everyone has that one thing. Well, maybe not me, because, like, I'm freaking all over the place. But a lot of people have that one thing that just really, really sets them off. Like, you know, for some people, it's rope. For some people, it's masochism or sadism. For some people, it's, you know, the DS. Like, if I had to pick one thing, it would be the DS for me, but all these little things factor in. And, one of the attractions of sadism, if you're a dominant, is that is one way you can get demonstration of your power, so to speak. Like, I think it's kind of a crutch for some people. Some people are sadists and they just say, oh, I'm a dominant. And all they do is a sadism, and that's fine. But to me, that's not all dominance is, but sadism can be a big part of your dominance. So you see what I'm saying? Like, sadism is not dominance, but dominance can encompass sadism a lot. For me, and I got in a little bit of trouble when I first got on FetLife stating, you know, this. I don't think there were a lot of people talking about it at the time. There were people doing it, but no one was talking about it because people were afraid to say, you know, this is what I do and this shit's a little fucking weird, you know? But my whole thing, and, you know, my baby girl talked about this a lot, that she would, like, there's people that are true masochists, okay? Like, they get off on the pain. The pain isn't pain to them. The pain is pleasure, okay? And then you have the people who aren't true masochists, and those are the people who do the pain. They enjoy the pain, but they don't enjoy the pain for the pain's sake. They enjoy the pain because it shows devotion, or they're allowed to suffer, or a myriad of other reasons. And that's the reason she does it. It's kind of like the joke, like, you know, a true sadist and true masochist meet each other in a bar and they never end up doing anything because the sadist doesn't, some sadist, and I don't believe in the word true, but you know, it's just a joke. Okay. Y'all don't take it seriously, but like the true sadist doesn't want you to fucking enjoy the pain. They, if they're giving somebody pain, they're like, oh, this is great. Like, that sucks, like, for a true sadist, supposedly. Like, I count myself as a true sadist, but I get enjoyment out of people who do or don't like the pain. But for her specifically, she did not like the pain. So for, like, a true masochist, they're going to get off on the pain, and a true sadist isn't going to get along with them because they want somebody who doesn't want the pain, who isn't liking the pain. And, you know, that's a controversial thing to say, like, oh, I like to play people who don't like pain. And there's immediately people that are like, if I get their fucking consent, it's okay. Like, people want to examine motivations and put motivations on other people, but they don't want to examine their own motivations. And that's a shitty thing to do, but hey, we all do it. I'm going to do it probably some today too. So the whole point of it is that if you're consensual and you're doing it in a consenting way, in a consenting manner, there's a myriad of reasons that are okay for being a sadist and okay for being a masochist. So just one of the things I wanted to talk about today. So referencing one of my other writings, just to talk about the attraction of sadism for me, I wrote a writing called "The Best Way to Show You I Care is to Hurt You." And I feel like for a lot of us sadists, you know, the sadists try to come off as badasses. Like, oh, I'm a sadist. I'm the baddest motherfucker in the room. And it's a show, dude. A lot of it's just a show. Like, I've talked to sadists that, you know, told me that they were the hardest fucking sadist you'd ever met. And all I do is beat ass. It's all I do. Just beat ass 24/7. I wake up and I beat ass. I take lunch and I beat ass. I go to work and I beat ass. I come home and I beat ass. I go to sleep and I'm beating ass. Like, those people are, it's just a fucking show. Like, they put on this show about how badass they are. It's a device. It's a device to scare people into being attracted to them. Like, let me give away the sadist secret, the secret sadist handshake. We all do that shit so everyone's scared, so they'll play with us because they like being scared. You know, it's the same reason people watch horror movies. Like, they want to be scared. They want to be, you know, emotionally distressed a little bit. It makes them forget about their other emotional distress, or it makes them, you know, get an adrenaline high. But the truth is, like, I hate it sometimes because when I'm portrayed as a sadist and I portray myself as a sadist, I don't try to come off as the baddest sadist on the block. Like, I have a loving, giggling, laughing component to my sadism. I call myself a giggling sadist because I will hurt people, and the entire time they're screaming, I'm laughing because I think it's fucking great and I'm getting joy out of it. But it has a counter effect, and it doesn't seem to work counter effect for everyone in the communities and everyone on Fed, but it does work for me, is that people immediately look at my profile. They ignore the fact that I'm a rigger, a primal, a dominant, a daddy, a master, that I'm an owner. I like pet play, that I do all this shit, and they immediately seize on the I don't like pain. Okay. Did I say that you had to do pain with me? Like, there's people that, like, I don't even want to fucking play with that come out of the woodwork and they comment on my stuff. I don't like pain. Like, I never included you. I never asked you. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people I'd like to play with that I'd like to get to know that just immediately look at the pain and they go, I ain't doing this. Like, my sadism, I don't even count it as being extremely hard. Like, yes, I do the hard stuff. Obviously, I make sharp toys. I do needles. I like blood play. I love piercing. Like, I'll pierce anyone. I love to pierce. But, you know, there's, you know, the spanking and things like that. Like, I don't particularly play to bruises. I don't try to play to bruises. And that's another thing sadists do, is they, and masochists definitely play their role in this too, is that we make it this big ass competition of, I'm going to be the baddest. Like, I'm going to make the most bruises. Dude, like, it's like, It's like if you played baseball and one day you played against a minor league team and the next day you played against a little league team and the next day you played against a major league team, you're going to perform differently. So some sadists work better with some masochists. Some masochists work better with some sadists. Like some people just fucking bruise easier and you can't help that. So I don't get the whole competition thing. I do sadism because for me, getting back to the meat of the writing was it's a way I can show my partners that I know your body so intimately because I love you and I pay attention to you and I care about you and I can take you right to that fucking edge, put you on that edge and we can dance on it a little bit and then we can back the hell off and you're safe with me. And it's almost like this, I compared it to like hurting someone so you could hug them. Like, you know, it's almost like you cut someone and then you'll get the Band-Aid and you put it on, you clean the wound and you bandage them up. And okay, so I'm gonna get into another controversial thing that I freaking hate is this thing of I broke them. Dude, you didn't break anything. They're not a horse. Okay. They're a masochist. Like you didn't cause some life altering, and people will play this up. Like I call some life altering event. The first time you do pain as a masochist or a sadist, yes, that is a life-altering event. But people are like, every time they go into a dungeon, I broke her. Like, dude, you broke her 50 times. How many more times are you going to break her? Like, people break down. Yes, they cry. Like, I've had many people cry on me. I've had people try to pass out, get clammy and pass out. Like, it's not that hard to do. And that's another point I want to make is that people get into this shit and they have no finesse. Like, it's just a 115-pound guy, and no offense to 115-pound guys out there, but you can be a spindly 115-pound guy and wail away harder than anyone can take. I guarantee it. Like, but that's the thing is that people think it's this just going hard constantly, and it's not. You know, it's that's the whole fear thing based. Like, you know, you think you're going to get beat to hell. Like you can't do that to people because they don't, like, if I hit you as hard as you could take the first time, like you would just leave. Like, I've never hit someone as hard as I can hit them. Like, I've had people try that shit of like, well, hit me harder. Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to hit you as hard as I can hit you. If I hit you as hard as I could hit you, I mean, it's just irresponsible. Like, I don't know how else to explain it. So yeah, I think there's a thin line between sadism and assholism. Like, I mean, I think you can be a sociopath or psychopath and enjoy sadism. I mean, there's people that do. I feel like the difference is that people like that would not honor a safe word or honor consent. And, you know, I didn't talk very much about safe words, but safe words, like, especially when you're doing impact, and, you know, I talked about negotiation consent in a previous podcast, but that's extremely important with sadism and masochism in several ways. But I always say this too, that people don't understand. People use this, well, I'm a hard masochist or I'm a hard sadist. How do you quantify hard or soft? There's no foot pound meter that is on your ass that tells people how hard you can take a paddling. There's, you know, there's no squeeze meter on a tit that tells how hard you can take to be squeezed. So you have to go slow. You have to build up to it. I use safe words with new people. And people have told me before, well, I'm not going to use a safe word. Like, you're fucking getting one. Here's red. Okay. Like, you know, you can say you don't use one, but I'm giving you one because I'm giving you a way out. Just in case, you know, because I don't know you well enough. And people also do that push. Go fast, go hard, go fast, go hard. Only idiots fall for this trick. Like, you don't go fast and hard, especially when you're playing with someone new. You go slow. You take your time. I was told by a mentor one time in BDSM and kink. Because I said, how do you know how hard to go? How do you know? Like, I want to know this shit. Like, you know, there's no formula for people, but how do you know, like, how hard to go? And they literally told me this. Don't go as hard as you think they can take. Go back a couple steps from that and always leave them wanting more. So they have to come back and get more, you know? So it serves a couple practical purposes, but also, like, I think people just overstate what they want, what they can handle. Like I said, no one's been with me that's handled as hard as I can hit. And I guarantee there's a million other sadists out there that say the same thing. It's not unique. You know, hitting hard is not a skill. It's just what you can do. So one other reason, I kind of briefly touched on it a little bit when I talked about how Angel describes her masochism to my sadism. And it's this fact that for me, sadism is like a suffering test. And I don't mean that. I hate testing in relationships. I hate when someone's trying to provoke a reaction to see what the other person's going to do. With the sadism, it's different because she knows that's what I'm coming into the bedroom or into the dungeon to do. I'm going to keep poking until I get a reaction. So for me, it's to see the depth of suffering. Like, and that works especially well with someone you know doesn't like the pain and doesn't get off on the pain, because you know the pain they're taking for you. So that's one of the draws for me. I like reactions. I like provocative. I like being provocative. I like provoking reactions from someone consensually. I like being able to push those buttons and see that reaction. Some people just like causing the pain, like, and that's fine. I mean, I tell people, like, we were kind of talking about a little bit about how I get kind of painted in this corner as being, well, just this guy that's into pain, and that's all I'm into. Pleasure's an appropriate reaction too. Like, I just want to push people's buttons and see that I cause something to happen, and that gives me joy. So that's another reason is this whole suffering for a point thing. I don't know. I just kind of feel like some sadism is wasted because it's not suffering for a point. And again, it doesn't matter to me because with the masochists, because if they enjoy the pain and they're getting pleasure out of it, great. If they hate the pain and it sucks, great. I'm still getting a reaction. So that's a little bit about what my mindset is when I go into sadism is I want to get a reaction out of the person that I'm playing with. And it always brings me joy to see what that first reaction is. You know, sometimes it's pleasure, sometimes it's pain. Sometimes, you know, I don't necessarily enjoy stoicism, but sometimes I kind of enjoy it because it's like, okay, let's see if I can break this stoicism out of you. But I like vocalism. I like people who are vocal about it and people who dance around and people. It's a myriad of reasons. So the last thing I want to talk about, and we didn't get into any of the mechanics because I don't want to make this episode just about how to do sadism. I've got a book out there about how to do sadism if you're interested in that under the pseudonym J.E. Earl on Amazon. Go check it out. But I didn't intend to make any episode of this podcast be about how to do something. I mean, yes, to some degree, I wanted to be instructional a little bit. But the books in my writing are for that. This I want to talk about philosophy. So the last point I wanted to talk about is something that, all right, I'm going to be a little bit judgy, but y'all should be used to that by now. But there's one particular type of masochist I don't play well with. And for some people, they're going to be like, that's the only type I play with. And I love playing with that type of masochist. For me, I do not like it. I don't like playing with a masochist who's using me as a therapist with a paddle. And what I mean by that is someone who isn't doing the work in therapy or isn't doing the work with medical professionals or trained professionals and is trying to address their mental health issues by having me paddle them. There's a lot of reasons why I don't like this. The first reason is because I'm not a fucking kink dispenser. I'm here to gather my own enjoyment out of it and to provide an experience for someone else. I'm not here to do it as part of a fucking job. I'm not getting paid for it. I'm doing it for joy. And if I'm sitting there the entire time knowing you're trying to turn your mind off because of some issue you have, and I have complete empathy for whatever issue you have. But again, if you're trying to use me to turn that off, it never makes me feel good. The second thing is yes, I believe kink and sadism and masochism and impact and all that shit can be very cathartic. It can be. Like, if I'm having a bad day It helps me have a better day. But catharsisism is not therapy. It's not self-improvement. It's not doing the work. It's using something temporarily to escape the issues that not having done the work causes. So what I mean by that is I've had people just be like, and I always ask the motivation. I do. Like, this is something that's very important to me is what's your motivation behind wanting to get spanked? What's your motivation behind wanting to play with me, wanting to do kink? And when someone says, I just want to turn my brain off for a little bit, it's not a red flag, but to me, it's a person who doesn't match with me. Part of the problem with that is, and this isn't necessarily my problem, I didn't talk about aftercare and subspace and much about safe words and much about, you know, all that shit. Because again, it's more philosophy, it's less instructional. But taking someone and driving them into that subspace when they're having mental health issues or a mental health crisis and they're using you as a therapist with a paddle is never a good thing, because that shit tends to have a depreciating effect. But also you drive them into that space. So if you think about like a graph or a chart, they're low down here. They're running on a line. They're low. Okay. The masochism takes them high. Okay. They get high. They're up here for a very brief period and they don't just come back down to where they were low. No, it has like a slingshot effect. They drop way below where they fucking were into like bottom land, like way below low. Okay. And it takes them a while to get back up out of that. So the drop is severe for people who are doing this. And it tends to put a lot of the onus on the top or the sadist or the dominant to bring them back up out of this space that we actually freaking caused. And sub drop and drop in period in general is a natural part. We cause it. We try to fix it if we're decent, I think. Like, not everyone does aftercare and shit, but I do. I do believe in trying to fix and give the person what they need because they've given me what I need, and that's part of that. But when it becomes untenable and the drop becomes so bad, you know, you can sink people into a low place. You can sink them into depression like this if they have mental health issues. And I'm not saying don't play people who have mental health issues. I'm saying if they're using you as the sole resource for fixing their mental health issues as a sadist, it's a bad situation. I've never had a good situation where this has happened. Period. Like, I just haven't. And again, I don't care to give people, especially my partners, pain on a day when they're not feeling it. Like when they need pain or when they need a release, that's different. It's different than someone whose sole purpose and sole motivation is to get the voices out of their head for a minute. I understand that the voices suck. I understand that you want to, but it's not a good thing always when you're using someone to do that and using them in not a great way. So I know I kind of diverged off topic. What's new? You guys should be used to it by now. So that's kind of my motivations behind sadism, kind of the attraction to it for me, some things I think, you know, I tend to look out for that aren't motivating factors as well. But just basically some of my observations about sadism, some of the things I've learned about myself, some of the things I've learned about the community, just my general philosophy on it, for lack of a better term. So it's really all I have to say on the subject. So I'll sign off. Until next time, this is Rope Tiger Daddy.